And you're going to hear baseball sounds on this episode of Miami Mic'd Up here at spring training in Jupiter. And very excited to welcome on Nick Gordon for his very first episode. Nick, it's a pleasure to have you with the Marlins. It's a pleasure to have you here in Jupiter / Miami. First question for you before we get to baseball. What's something recently outside of work, outside of baseball, that's brought you joy?
Oh, man. I mean, my son, definitely. You know, I get to talk to him every single day, so... You know, whenever I talk to him, that's joy. That's definitely the first thing that comes to my mind.
How old is your son now?
5 years old.
Oh, man. So, all right. So what are you doing to make sure that he's the third in line of Gordon's to become a big leaguer? I'm sure you're putting a ball in the left hand if you want him to become a left-handed reliever.
Well, he's definitely swinging left-handed. But honestly, man, I kind of let him have fun. He loves soccer, so we're actually playing more soccer right now than anything, so I'm going to let him decide.
I love that. Multi-sport athlete, potentially. Yes, I think that's great. Well, being here in Miami, obviously you're new to this franchise, so I'm wondering what level of comfort have you had right away, and what have you learned in your first couple of weeks here with the ball club?
It's been very comfortable, actually. It's been a good time. I know a lot of guys, you know, over here. I actually knew more than I thought I would, you know, that's a positive. Got to work since we've been here, you know, been just getting after it, you know, grinding, really just tuning in on, you know, some outfield things, you know, getting myself better at that. Just kind of, you know, all the above, just preparing ourselves for a season, getting into it.
I know versatility is a kind of calling card for you, but what would you say is your biggest strength as a ball player that you can bring to a club and help them win?
I think, you know, it is that versatility, but it's the, you know, the versatility at the level that it's at, you know, just kind of being able to, you know, go and play every single position. You know, I am not a catcher, though, but every single position.
You wouldn't want that grind on the knees, man. That's the big thing.
Man, it's tough. But, just, you know, being able to go and play every single position, you know, at the ability that I can play it, you know, and try to give our team a chance to win ball games, you know, wherever I am. So being, you know, an asset, not a liability.
What kind of mental preparation? Because obviously physical preparation, you got to prepare for all sorts of different positions, and that might require different strength training, what have you. But on the mental side, you know, there's so many different things that I think the common fan might not realize about the mental side of playing each and every position. So how do you prepare on the mental side of the game to be able to, any given day, hey, Skip says I'm gonna go play left field, hey, Skip says I'm gonna go play second base, how do you prepare?
Really keeping that joy, you know, just keeping that kid mentality, I would say. You know, being a kid, you kind of rotate, you play all over, you know, you got to be good at everything. So, you know, just really that, you know, just trying to be the best at every single position that I, you know, I play. And, you know, whenever I'm there, you know, it's just really just going 1-10, you know, just if I'm in left, if I'm in center, if I'm in right, if I'm at second, short, whatever it is, you know, I'm trying to make a play. So, you know, I think just that attitude and just always anticipating, you know, keeps you locked in.
Well, you keep joy in baseball. That reminds me when we're talking about this team of Jazz. I know the two of you are very close, good friends, spend your off seasons together. So what makes your friendship with Jazz unique? I know you guys have known each other since you're kids. So, like, is there a story that stands out that sort of represents, like, this is the type of friends that we are?
Man, honestly, I couldn't even really name just one story. Like, you know, we pretty much together all the time, so it's kind of like all like every day, you know. It's something happens every day, but I mean, it's just that, you know, as my brother, you know, I couldn't really put it in any other words than that. You know, we're anything he needs, I'm there. Anything I need, I know he's there. You know, just to be able to play with him is kind of crazy. You know, it's kind of still that can't really believe it's kind of going on type of moment, but you know, I'm definitely looking forward to it. I think it's going to be some very fun baseball.
Is that the type of stuff that you talked about as kids? Like, did you ever have those conversations?
This offseason, actually. Like,
really?
It's crazy. Like, before anything happened, it was like, man, it'd be crazy if we played together. And then, like, now we're playing together. It's crazy.
That's amazing. Oh, how cool to be able to have a moment like that come together. And, you know, being able to play with guys. You've got Luis Arraez, who's a former teammate of yours. What is it that makes him so special, not just on the field, a guy who, you know, almost hit 400 last year, but also off the field as a teammate?
Honestly, man, Luis is great. Like, you know, it's crazy because we have a ping pong tournament going, and, like, to see Louis go from just like Louis mode to game mode is so, like, it's crazy. It's awesome just because, man, that's what he is. You know, he's a gamer. He's awesome. You know, he's an awesome father. I learned so much from him just about, you know, my little one in general, you know, things like that, just learning how to be better, you know, all those kind of things, you know, not just hitting. Like, Louis is a great guy. That's why he's the best at hitting, because he's so much better off the field.
Well, what are those conversations like? You know, I think a peek into the clubhouse where you got guys spending every single day together for, you know, gosh, 9 months out of the year, sure. if not more, right? When you have friendships with guys like Jazz. So sure. when you talk about those types of conversations that you're having about, you know, being a father or what have you off the field, how does that work when you're in a clubhouse? Like, what are those conversations like?
Man, honestly, you know, just being there all day, you know, we talk a lot about baseball, but honestly, it's probably about 50-50. Like, you know, we get, you know, it's real life. We're human beings at the end of the day. You know, we go through things as well. You know, we come and we all play baseball. That's what we do. You know, all of us do alike, but, you know, we all go home. We have families, we have different lives, you know, and things like that. So, you know, just finding out about someone's day, you know, and then it could turn into, you know, something else, or, hey, what did you do today? I was with the kids at the park and this happened, and oh, and this, you know, just kind of different conversations, you know, just being here. I see, you know, these guys sometimes more than I see my family in a week. So, you know, it's just, it's bound to happen. You know, you gotta have different conversations outside of baseball with you guys.
Well, I know that sort of family environment is the type of environment that Skip has tried to create. And I've already seen Jordan McPherson had an article in the Herald where he quoted you about sort of what it's like to be in Skip Schumacher's clubhouse. What have you already seen that you love about Skip as a manager?
Oh, he's awesome. He just understands, you know. Skip understands, you know, spring. He understands the season we're going into. You know, he understands the importance of the clubhouse. He understands the importance of, you know, just baseball and being a baseball player, you know. And I think that is really important, just because, you know, playing this game as hard as it is, you know, and you know, not a lot of people understand how really difficult it is, you know. So when you have a manager who does understand, you know, that is always, you know, a comforting feeling, you know, someone who knows what you're going through, you know, someone who's been there and also understand what it's like to, you know, be together and
right.
how important your teammates are and how important, you know, your family and the culture of the clubhouse is, because, you know, again, we are together all the time. So, you know, it's definitely it's exciting, because, you know, those are important things.
Well, you know, you talked about playing with joy, and I know you've dealt with health issues, whether they be baseball health issues or unrelated to baseball health issues. And I wonder, in the ups and downs that come with that, how much that sort of impacted your mentality as you come out here. So has it? And, you know, what type of perspective do you bring into, you know, this season with the Marlins?
Honestly, it's crazy, because I've always been someone who, like, kind of strays the other way, if that makes sense. So,
sure.
You know, when this kind of thing happened to me, you know, with my health, I still felt like I was straying the other way, as far as, like, everyone would have more so kind of been like, you know, this is tough. It's kind of like, I didn't feel bad for myself, you know.
Sure.
I didn't necessarily feel bad for myself. I, you know, after everything happened, I actually was more excited to have every day that I had, if that makes sense. So
completely,
like,
yeah, a sort of newfound like appreciation for sure. Every day you can get out here.
For sure, for sure. And I feel like that took my career to the next level, you know. Like, before that, it's not that I didn't have the joy, but it was like, you know, I knew I've always been good at baseball, and I played it my whole life. So it's like, you know, I'm just kind of going through it, you know. And when, like, me really going through things in my life kind of really put it into my eyes, like, hey, listen, I take advantage of every single day. And, like, since then, you know, I actually wasn't in the big leagues before I was sick. So, like, after coming back after being sick, like, it was just a whole nother hunger, you know, and then ended up making it to the big leagues and here now. So
make sure every day counts, and to be able to have that mentality is so important in a game like this, where
for sure.
it can kind of drone on in 162 games playing every single day. You know, we talk about this team playoff expectations, obviously, you know, as a team that made the playoffs last year, that's led by the pitching staff. And even without Sandy, I mean, you look at this spring, it's been insane watching these guys throw. What stands out to you about this rotation and what Mel Stottlemyre and company have been able to put together with all these arms?
Oh, man. Honestly, it's nasty. Like, there's no other word for it. It's filth. I told him the other day, I was like, I'm about to start looking at you guys with smirks, just like, this guy's filthy. But, you know, it's just right. nasty, man. They're, you know, every single live BP that I've had against any of our guys, you know, it's a dogfight. You know, just playing behind them here in spring and seeing them attack the zone, you know, and go after hitters and things like that, man, it's awesome. You know, those are the type of things that keep you in ball games, you know, and that makes your offense excited. You know, when we're, you know, fifth, sixth inning and our pitcher still have us in the game, you know, and anything, we score one run here, two runs there, and we in the lead, that is exciting, you know.
Right.
And that right there is that's winning baseball.
Well, I imagine that is the type of thing that keeps you excited and keeps you believing that this team can be a playoff team again. Let's get to some questions not involving specifically this season. Obviously, your brother, D. Gordon, played here in Miami. Wondering your thoughts. D, to me, has the most iconic moment in Marlins history, where after Jose Fernandez passed away, he comes up to the plate, stands in that right-handed batter's box, takes a pitch, and then hits a home run. What were the emotions for you that day, watching your brother experiencing a moment like that? And, you know, can you take me back to that place?
Honestly, man, it was I don't even really think I, like, had, like, emotions at that time. It was more so, like I just really couldn't believe, like, what I was seeing, you know, in a sense. And, you know, me and my brother were really close at the time, like, when all of this was going on, as far as, like, talking every single day. So, like, I knew what Jose meant to him, you know, and just to, you know, those days, like, leading up to that, you know, just kind of was, it was really tough. So for when that happened, you know, just to, what really got to me was, like, seeing my brother run around the bases crying like that, you know, because I know my brother, and, like, he's not really the guy to cry, you know. So, yeah. Like, when that kind of happened, it was just, like, a lot, you know. And then, like, my mom, like, my dad, like, it was a lot of emotion. You know, the moment itself was very special, but, like, I think it was way bigger than baseball.
Yeah. Completely. I mean, for me, as someone who was a young fan at the time, like, that's something that I'll never forget. It's etched in my mind, and I'm sure it's etched in yours as his brother. What would you say is, going all the way back to childhood, your favorite Little League memory?
Ooh. Man, maybe my first home run. It was on my birthday, my 10th birthday, yeah.
I love that.
My first ever home run was a grand slam.
No way.
Yeah, so.
Oh, come on.
That was awesome. All my friends were hitting homers, and I was, like, the only kid not hitting homers. So I finally hit one on my birthday. It was awesome. That was probably my favorite.
That travel ball already, playing at that age? That's awesome.
See, I actually didn't play Little League. So
you just skipped right to travel ball immediately?
When I was 8, I started playing travel. So, okay. I mean, I was there. I played pony ball when I was 4, so.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Okay. Do you have a favorite big leaguer from growing up that's not your dad?
Derek Jeter.
Derek, I 100%. Get it. 100%.
I mean, my dad played with him in New York.
Yep.
He was by far Derek Jeter. That's who I wanted to be, so.
All right, so I've also heard, you know, speaking of who you want to be, there's a bit of a rap alter ego, G-Cinco.
For sure.
I went and I've watched videos. Is there a rebrand? Is that still the name? All right. So let's hear all about your rap career. I want to know what's coming up.
I got you.
I want to know what I could be looking forward to.
So yeah, G-Cinco was old. I actually had to take all of that off because I had some people trying to steal my music. Like,
really?
Yeah. Nobody really knows that, but actually I'm gonna say it too, because I had everyone ask me that question, like, why is my old music not there? But, like, people were trying to steal my music. So I had to take it all off. Because I basically, like, I didn't care to make money off the music. I really did it just because it was, like, you know,
you love it.
I loved it. But when people started trying to steal the music to make money from it, like, bro, I'm not even making money off my own music. I'm not going to let you steal it, you know? So, like, I just took it off. And I actually started recently, like, I've always kept recording music, but I more recently, like, got, I would say, more of, like, a plan for, like, you know, a dropping plan to, like, actually let people hear music more.
Okay. Can we break some news here on Miami Mic'd Up? Do we have any release dates coming up?
Sure. I won't say release date. I will say this, though. We actually shot some stuff not too long ago, and Jazz has actually started making music with me. So
we got Jazz.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay. Jazz is there with you. This is exciting.
For sure.
All right.
We started a company. Our company is called Festine. We do clothing, music, everything. But
this is exciting.
No, it's pretty exciting. But I've stayed away from it for a while, just because, like, that experience in itself was kind of, like, you know, eye-opening for me. Just, like, you know, I didn't even know the people that was kind of taking my music, so it was like, bro, I don't really care to be in this industry.
Yeah,
you know, but, like, I have a love for music, and I'm not really, like, you know, a selfish guy, so I'm like, I'll let, you know, people hear it, because so many people ask. You know, if someone tries to steal it this time, I'll probably take it off again, but hopefully that doesn't happen.
So. All right, well, that won't happen. I'm excited to see whatever name it is that you go by, whatever you got with Jazz coming up. That's going to be really fun.
For sure.
All right, just a few more questions before I let you go. I appreciate you taking all this time. We've seen some pretty wild takes by athletes recently. At the NFL Combine, there was a guy who said he doesn't believe in outer space. There's a pitcher for the Braves who recently said he believes that dinosaur bones are a scam by museum curators and they're not real. What is the wildest take that you wholeheartedly believe in?
The moon ain't real.
The moon isn't
yes,
real.
The moon isn't real. And I don't have time to explain all of that because I don't need people coming looking at me crazy. But I'm listen, all I'm going to say is I'm
not the moon landing, just the moon.
The moon. The whole moon. I don't even want to talk about it, though.
This is exactly... I was hoping you would say something a bit out of pocket. This is great. Moon. All right, cool. Good. All right. If I gave you your own podcast or TED Talk, what would you say you're an expert enough in that would be what you would talk about?
Man.
The moon isn't real.
What am I expert real. In? Honestly, I would say, actually, I think I am an expert at understanding perspective, if that makes sense. That's probably gonna sound really
okay.
crazy.
No, that based off what you were saying earlier about sort of appreciating every day, I can understand that.
For sure. So what I would say is, like, I just really understand that every perspective too is everything, you know? So, like, I'm someone who, you know, everything has to look a certain way. Like,
sure.
Everything is calculated, you know, from even take music. Okay, music, like, that's why stuff doesn't just get dropped. Like, the video has to be calculated, you know, things have to make sense. Like, everything has to be, you know, perspectively, it has to look the right way. Mm-hmm. So I would say that I would probably have a podcast just trying to preach to the world on, like, you know, how to be more aware of, like, perspective.
I like that. And why the moon isn't real. Yeah. Two more questions.
It's not. All okay. I'm gonna say is this.
Is there any, all right, yeah, give me an explanation, a little
earth,
explanation.
The earth and the moon, gravitational pull.
Okay.
Gravitational pull. The moon is way too close, bro.
Okay. All right.
It's way too close.
All right.
It's way too close. I ain't even.
I have no.
Close,
I'm
bro.
Not. I wish that I had enough of a scientific brain to be able to properly push back on my belief and understanding and let me say
I'm gonna give you one more.
The truth, which is that the moon is real.
Sometimes.
But
go outside. Look up at night. I swear. Y'all think I'm joking? Look up at night, and you will not see the moon. Sometimes.
Well, yeah. All right.
No.
We don't have time to get into
bro,
that.
Bro, you gotta see the sun or the moon.
All right. Fair enough.
You gonna, now that
fine.
I told you though, you're gonna notice. Watch. At night, just start looking up.
I'm gonna think of you every time I see the
I'm
moon
telling
and know
you.
It's real. Alright, that's fine. Alright, Nick. We'll keep talking about this the entire time you're here. Two more questions for you, and they're both sort of record related. Not music record, but sports records. LeBron James just scored 40,000 points in the NBA. I want to ask your opinion here. LeBron's 40,000 points, Barry Bonds' 762 home runs. Which record will be more impossible to break?
More impossible to break? I'm gonna go with probably Barry Bonds. I love LeBron. I am a Jordan guy though.
Okay.
I do love LeBron though. I ain't one of them guys who like, LeBron. Nah,
right.
LeBron is great.
Okay.
Like, I love LeBron. I am a Jordan guy. But I play baseball.
Right.
And I know how hard it is to do what Barry Bonds did. You know, and man. It's just tough. I don't see, like, unless someone, you know, I mean, don't get me wrong. We got Aaron Judge hitting 62 homers and stuff,
right.
too. But I mean, you know, like, I need Aaron to hit 62 for, like, the next how
like
many
to
years.
To have the length of your career to be able to do it in baseball would just be insane. Right.
Like, Barry, yeah, that's a tough record to beat.
All right. And final question for you. This is a hypothetical that was proposed by part of the Dan Le Batard show with Stu Gatz. And so working over there with those guys is a hypothetical by one of our producers. You have a baseball player. Mm-hmm. He plays five seasons. He goes 1-for-4 in every single game he plays. So it's an 810 game hit streak.
Mm-hmm.
But it's only singles. He never gets an extra base hit. He never walks. He's just 1-for-4 every single game for his entire career. Is that guy a Hall of Famer?
Nah, he's 1-for-4, no extra base hits, so all you hitting is base hits.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, you hitting 250.
Right.
You know, so you just hitting 250, like you, I mean, you're hitting average, so you're about 250.
But you know how hard it would be to get a hit in 810 straight
games. The coolest thing about it is he got a hit in 110 straight games.
Yeah.
But think about this too. You said every game he goes 1-for-4. Say,
right.
for instance, he come in and pinch hit in the ninth.
Well,
is he gonna get that hit right there? Or?
I guess, theoretically, we're creating a universe where this guy starts and plays every day as a DH.
Okay.
And he's just 1-for-4.
Yeah, first of all, DH 1-for-4 single every day, he's not going to the Hall of Fame. Now, if you told
me, I'd argue that guy might get benched.
That's what I'm saying. If you go 1-for-4 with a homer every day, or
it's a different conversation.
You know, 100%. Yeah, he's Hall of Famer. We're starting every day. You know, but 1-for-4 with a base hit, no extra base hit, is he still in second every time?
That's up to you to figure out. Maybe not. Right. He might steal some. He might get some RBIs.
Okay, so
he might have a walk-off or two.
I take 250. Hit every day in D. Gordon, Miami, stolen base championship.
Okay.
Now, that, yes.
Okay.
I take.
You so he's got to be one of the best base runners in baseball
sure.
as well. And if he is, and he's leading the league in stolen bases every year, then you could give him a Hall of Fame career.
I still would have to. Okay, yeah, you
maybe
say Hall of Fame. Because think about it. You got 162.
Right.
He gets one hit a game. That's, you know, he's probably going to steal about 90. If he's that good. Yes, if he's running all the time, he need to steal 90.
So it needs to be with stolen bases. So to really answer the question as the way it was proposed, the answer is no. But yeah, we're adding these qualifiers, and that'll be it.
For sure, yeah, he's not making it.
Nick Gordon, this was great. I really appreciate it. I'm excited to see what the people think about your takes on the moon. thanks, dude. This was a lot of fun. Thanks for joining me on Miami Mic'd Up.
Yes, sir.